Well, I'm Reverend John Mann. I minister with Grace Community International. I'm here with two team members. One, Mike Daly, who has his Master's of Engineering and is an executive in an engineering company in Albuquerque, New Mexico, a large international engineering concern, a former member of the Board of Directors, and current member of the Board of Directors, Richard Smith, graduate of Oklahoma State University in engineering, and has just retired as an executive with Oklahoma Gas and Electric, and still maintains a part-time job with Honeywell. I wanted to say Sewell, but Honeywell, also keeping his finger in engineering, as well as traveling and ministering with Grace Community. So having said that, let's stand. Let's ask God to bless the teaching of His Holy Word, shall we? Let's stand together. Oh Lord God, this is Your Holy Word. We are Your servants. Give us understanding that we might know Your testimonies. You have prayed, O Lord, sanctify them in truth. Thy word is truth. Use Your holy, eternal, inerrant, written word to set us apart this evening for Your service and for Your glory. Show us great and mighty things which we do not know. The sower sows the word. Let not Your word go out and return void, but accomplish that purpose for which You have drawn us together, and accomplish that purpose for which You are now sending Your written word out. Protect us from Satan, O Lord, who will snatch Your word, making it fruitless. Protect us from a wrong reaction to difficulties and discouragements and persecutions which make our hearts hard and unresponsive to Your word. Protect us from the world's cares and the delight of wealth and the passion for other interests which enter in and choke Your word, making it fruitless. Rather, plow up now the hard ground of our hearts, O Lord. Give us good soil that Your sown written word might send roots downward and then bear fruit upwards. Unsheathe now the sword of Your spirit, O Lord. Cut to the dividing point of bone and marrow, soul and spirit. Judge now the thoughts and the intention of each heart which You have gathered together. Spread Your word to us as a banquet table, O Lord. Grant grace that we might drink of the sweet milk and eat of the rich meat of the great doctrines of Your holy word. Give us the heart of the prophet who cried to You, "Thy words were found and I did eat them, and Thy words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart, for I am called by Thy name, O Lord God of hosts." Leads to destruction. Make Your word a lamp to our feet. Make Your word a light to our path. Show us that narrow way that You would have us lead our families. And Lord, as we run in the paths of Your commandments, enlarge our hearts, that in loving You we might be more obedient to Your holy word. drop your word against our lives this evening as a plumb line, O Lord. Grant grace that we might see how we deviate from its high and holy purposes. Make your word to us a mirror, O Lord. Grant grace that we might not be as those who look and go away and promptly forget, but make us active doers, not forgetful listeners of your holy word. O Lord, because of our fealty to you, because of our undying love and devotion to your Son, our resurrected Savior, we pledge to you this evening our total submission to your holy, eternal, inerrant written word. And we pledge to you our unquestioning obedience to all of its commands. In the name of our Lord and our resurrected Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray.
Amen.
Thank you. You may be seated.
Oh, it's lovable.
I'm sorry, my mother always told us if we did not have enough to share with them,
with a light on it. So you can find a lock on your door. Or you can find your pin when it rolls under the bed.
You know, I live in Houston. We have lots of bugs in Houston. Do you have bugs here in Nigeria?
Yes.
So I never reach under my bed without looking with a light first. You are trying to find something, and instead something finds you. So. Galatians 6, 6 and 7. No, Galatians 6, 7 and 8.
Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he also reaps. For he who sows his flesh, shall reap flesh with corruption. But he who sows his spirit, shall reap spirit with everlasting life.
You will always sow what you always reap. What you sow. It's a law of the harvest. If you have a friend. Now mean to your children, but does house help have your education? Do they have your sophistication? Do they have your spiritual insights? No, they don't. So Jesus is not happy either. You don't have to have babies. His wife is university educated. He is. They are well dressed. They are well spoken. They are extremely articulate and devoted to Christ. I visited them in their home, and their children were running around without shoes on. They weren't well dressed. They were speaking some pidgin English, and they were talking about some superstitious things. Investing in their life. temptations and persecutions rise outside of our control. 1 Corinthians 10:13, God says He will level it all out with grace. But where irresponsibility and negligence occurs, God does not promise to do that. Rather, you will reap what you sow. So don't do that. If you are going to have babies, be a conscientious, biblical father and mother. So one of the applications is, in your estate, besides the fact that you go to church on Sunday and there is a Bible in your home and the television is on a Christian station, what makes you a Christian family? You have the same material values. You neglect your children in the same way. You neglect each other in the same way. What makes you a Christian family? What is different about the way your children are behaving and about the way you behave towards your children? What is the difference? Well, John, with gold. starvation and famine strike this nation because the crops fail. Can you imagine that? What prayers does Jesus answer according to this verse? According to what? Faith is not the ability for God to get God up off his throne, running around Nigeria, doing your will. By faith in Christ, in an obedience to his holy word, we get up off our pew or our seat. We ask God from his word what his will is, and then we do it. You want, now though, having said that, I am going to give you the secret prayer. Change. well, I appreciate you going and giving me your evaluation. So I saw her Thursday morning in the office, and I said, what happened? She said, well, I sat there and listened for about 15 minutes to those silly ladies gossiping about their husband in the guise of prayer requests, and I shut the meeting down, and I told them all to go home, quit gossiping about your husband, and fix them dinner. Johnny goes into the refrigerator, opens the refrigerator, takes out the juice, and begins drinking. What are you doing? Drinking juice? No. You ask, and then if mommy says yes, you drink out of a glass. Well, I see daddy come home from work, and sometimes he walks right in, he opens the refrigerator, and drinks it. And mommy says, that's because he is the daddy. If you study hard at school, if you get a job, if you can afford a place to live, and can buy a refrigerator, and can put juice in it, then you can drink the juice any way you want. But you are not daddy. Okay, mommy, it's time to go to church in the morning. Can I drive the car? No. Thank you. so I'd know where I left off, and I'd answer their question, then I would go back to it. And my children grew up seeing me do Bible study and teach the Bible in the church. And they all grew up wanting to be just like Daddy. When your sons and daughters think about being like Daddy, when it comes to scripture memory, Bible reading, Bible study, and leadership in the church, what are they going to do? Don't send the college ministers of the University of Nigeria in America children who think you grow up and don't do those things. Send them children who grow up thinking that's what men do. Men of God. Strong men. That's what men do. Okay? Be a man. Last and closing, Galatians 6, 7 and 8. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. I was talking with a lady who ran a large guest house and conference center outside Lusaka, Zambia, where we were having our conference. A multi-church conference on marriage and family. And she was talking to me one afternoon with Ellen and I asking about our children. And she said, you know, I just don't understand why my children are so selfish. They never come home. Even when I was in the hospital when I was sick, only one of them came to see me. Sometimes one will come home for Christmas, sometimes the other. I will get a text or an email every once in a while, but we work all of our lives to make them successful. And then she shared how they were doctors and lawyers and professors, and this is how they repay us. So I said, wow, they're highly educated. She says, oh yes. I sent them to advanced preschool when they were just old enough to walk. And then I sent them to a boarding school on the edge of Lusaka so they could get in the best college. And then I sent one to South Africa and one to the U.S. and one to England for the university. They defined what love was. When they were sick, where was their mother? At her job. Who took care of them? Some house matron, some teacher. They defined that. They brought their children home for Christmas for a few days, or for the summer for a few days, and sent them away. But even when their children were home, they were gone at their careers all the time. It was house help or grandma who took care of them. They defined what love was, wouldn't they? And when they were away at the university and they got sick, was mommy fixing them soup and wiping their brow? No. So these children are not unloving. They are simply loving their mommy the way their mommy loved them. They don't know any different. Does that make sense? And I told her that. They send their mommy nice presents. They send her money. They send her cards. And when it's convenient, they see her. But even when she's sick, they don't see her. But she didn't do that for them. When they got an earache and they were at that high school boarding school in South Africa, she didn't leave her job and go help them. Some matron did. Some nurse. And now they love her the same way. They'll put her in a nursing home. But that's not unloving because she put them